Not long ago, we studied Psalm 119 in pretty good depth. Psalm 119 is noted as being the longest chapter in the Bible, but we must appreciate Psalm 119 for many other features. One in particular, as we study through Psalm 119, it's a wonderful chapter. It teaches us about how the Bible works. And how to be pleasing to God. And how the Bible and God can work in your life. If we just let it. And if we would let Him. And so in just a few moments from now, we'll look at one of those verses in particular that Brother Dave read for us just a moment ago. We think about grief and how can grief be good? You've heard the phrase, oh, good grief. Seems silly to say those two words in connection with each other. If you begin to study Scripture, you begin to realize that there is much good that can come from grief, from suffering, from pain, from hurt. And that's what we'll study tonight. Maybe give us a few reasons or ideas about how grief, how hurt, how pain can help us in our life. And I believe if we just stop to ponder a few of these thoughts this evening and continuing through our life, I believe it will help us to handle the uncertainties of the life that we face in a much better and God-pleasing way. And let's face it, is that not what we should all be after as we live our lives? Is to bring God the glory and the honor. When life takes you into the valley of loss and hurt and pain, the only thing that you can see at that moment is the fog of heartbreak and sorrow. Wilson Adams continues to say this, it's like driving in a fog that keeps closing in and causing you to drive slower and slower and slower. It's in the fog that such depression that we truly wonder, what can possibly come from this? You think about that for just a moment. Doesn't that paint the situations of loss and hurt and pain? It seems like the longer you go and the more that you travel, the deeper and thicker the fog becomes. Appreciate those words from Brother Wilson Adams. He continues to say this, it is here that God grants us a special blessing. Do you know what that is? It's time. He goes on to say, please be advised, however, that time does not make the hurt disappear, nor does it change reality. Instead of changing reality, time has a way of changing us. Gradually, little by little, the sunshine of time helps to burn away the fog as we begin to see things with greater clarity than we did before. Probably no truer words said than that right there. I've heard people say, as we'll talk about in just a moment, time heals all wounds. And that's just not true. It doesn't. And we'll talk about that in just a moment from now. Think about your bodies. Just as our bodies need time to heal, so does our minds. After we've experienced heartache and pain and suffering, our minds need time to heal as well. Look for just a moment over in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, if you will. Please, I encourage you to have your Bibles open this evening. This is such an important subject that all of us need to understand and get a firm grasp on. Because if we don't, as we experience the suffering and pain that this world will often throw at us, we will miss what God intends pain and suffering to do. And that's to draw us closer to Him. And for many of us, as we face our hardships in this life, we might, for a moment, hopefully if we do it at all, but for a moment, we begin to question, does God see us? Is God real? Does He not understand what I'm going through? Will He not allow me to experience a break in this pain and suffering that I'm going through? Hopefully, if that's you tonight, hopefully if you are struggling with heartache and pain tonight, it will become very clear to you why you will experience the hardships and the pains that this life has to throw at us. And I will say, although this is not a point that we'll make tonight, I believe it's something that we need to insert very quickly in this lesson. I believe one of the great reasons that pain and suffering surrounds us on a daily basis is to make us long for heaven more and more. Heaven will not be like this world. We won't experience the suffering and heartache that this world offers to us on a daily basis in our families and in our workplaces and in our friendships and in our enemy situations. Heaven will be free from all of those pains and blights. But we won't talk about that tonight. I want to be very practical with this lesson and help us understand hardship and pain. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, dealing with the mind, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning in verse 5, it says this, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord." Deuteronomy 34, and in verse 8, notice what it says there, "So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 8, it's a key verse in understanding this concept this evening. "Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end." All of us understand and appreciate when we experience hardship in our muscles and in our bones. Brother Ron, he was telling me about how old he was, and he was one of the ones there helping Miss Imogene move, and he asked me, "How are you doing today?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing okay." And I asked him how he was doing. He said, a little bit sore. All of us understand that time, we need time to heal our bodies. I'm sure if somebody else was moving, some of those that were there moving, Imogene would probably say, "Give us a few days. Let us heal." We all understand that and appreciate it. Anybody that's exerted themselves weeding a garden or cutting the grass or being involved in work chasing children around, you all understand how taxing that is on our body. Heather often, when she comes to bed after she's done all that she needs to do in the day, she sits in the bed, and especially the last several months, she'll sit in the bed and she'll go, "What's she saying? It's time to rest this young body of mine." We all understand when it comes to our body. But I'll tell you, in Deuteronomy 34, we see that the mind needs rest as well. It needs time to work through things, to process things. 30 days after Moses died, the children of Israel mourned. And after that 30 days, it was then time to proceed forth. But God granted time to those that were suffering with emotions and feelings, unlike any time before. We all ought not to turn our eyes against that. We ought not to look at that and say that's not something that anybody needs. Just get over it. Trust in God. The problems will eventually go away. Understand that the mind needs its time as well. Life's hurts just don't go away. Time does help ease the pain. But the scars will always be there. We need to remember that as we live in our lives. One might say, "Well, who are those two people in the picture?" That is me with a bald head. That's what I look like with a bald head. That little girl sitting on my lap is my little niece. And some of the darkest news that's ever happened in my life was when we got the call that she had leukemia. And I'll tell you, if there was a time for me to begin to question, I've seen it happen in other people's lives. I've been at the hospital. I've visited with sick people. I've visited with young sick people dealing with this type of infection in their body. But it hit home. It's here that it became real. And like you, I know there's several that have dealt with cancer and continue to go through cancer in this local body here. There's going to be a practical application for you as we go through this lesson this evening. But I want us to understand, one of God's great blessings that's bestowed upon us in our suffering and our pain, as we'll allude to in just a moment, is it sets us up to be in a good place to help others who go through the same things that we go through. God is good all the time, and we must not forget that. I want to talk for just a moment. I hope that you can see that at the back. I will be honest with you. I've been having a lot of computer troubles, and this PowerPoint presentation, it was last minute. So if you can't see it at the back, I apologize. I'd normally be able to get to look at it a little bit before, and I didn't have time to do that. But let's look at the first principle for just a moment. Two truths from Job and Joseph. If there are any Bible characters that we can study and learn from pain and painful experiences and how to do it with dignity and grace and bring glory and honor to God, these are two individuals that we find in Scripture. One might say, well, why don't we talk about Christ? We could talk about Christ as well. These are just the two that we are talking about tonight. And so I want you to turn in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 8, as that'll be the text that we'll look at in just a moment from now. Romans chapter 8. I want us to understand and appreciate that God is true, and when God says something, He cannot lie. While we think about this and look at it in an intellectual way, I think all of us understand Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28. I don't think there's a single person here tonight that would look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 28 and say, I can't explain that. It's pretty easy to put that verse into words that we can understand. It's easy for us to look at that and for it to make sense in our minds. But we struggle emotionally, don't we? Our problem is the same as Joseph and Job. We can't see past the moment. Let me read Romans chapter 8. And in verse 28 to you, and you see if you understand this verse very clearly. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I go back to this illustration. You make your own life applications to this. There's one face that I look to see at the holidays. And understand, there are about 16 little nieces and nephews running around, most of which are about the same age, and I can usually take that for about 2 or 3 days, and then I want to come home. This is too much going on. But that is one face I look for. I look to see her face. She's changed so much. She's endured so much. And I, at the time when we were first told about this, I wondered to myself, good grief, what possibly can come that's good out of this situation? This little girl is frail and small. What possibly can come good out of that situation? I'll tell you what, there's been a whole lot. Talk to me after services. I'll sit down and tell you about some of the good that's come out of that situation and the lives that that little girl has touched that would have never been able to touch if she hadn't experienced a sickness in her body. I believe what Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28 teaches us. But again, how? When? We just sang about that, didn't we? One might question as they go through the struggles of this life, how can this situation promote any kind of good? One might say, when will it happen? In His time, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Jeff stood before us and led the second. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way that You do just what You say in Your time. You see, help and healing comes in His time, not ours. And that's something we have to understand as we deal with hardship and we deal with pain and we deal with hurt and we experience all the hardships that this world throws at us. Good will come, but it will come in His time, not ours. I remember some time ago I had knee surgery, and believe it or not, there was a time where I could dunk the basketball. I tried to jump over top of somebody and sat on their shoulders and came forward and my toe touched my thigh, tore my knee all to pieces. I was told, as they replaced some of the ligaments in my leg, you keep your foot up and don't move for the next 3 months. Well, you know what I did before 3 months? I was up moving around. I suffer for it today. It gets cold and I tell you what, it hurts. There's not a day that goes by that some uncertain step that I take, that it tweaks it just a little bit. And you know what it tweaks? What it reminds me of? What happened on that day when I tore my knee all to pieces. I want to tell you all, as you probably all well know, as you get to the other side of your problems that you go through, remember as I began this lesson this evening, I said that time doesn't heal, but time allows us to cope. It changes us. It helps us appreciate. It helps us look for the good in it. There'll be times as you get to the other side of your problems that you're reminded of how it once was before the pain came, before the hardships happened. You know what that is? Those are scars. And many of us tonight, as you sit in the seats, you carry those scars. God grant you mercy and strength as you deal with the scars that you have. Be strong. Be courageous, because that's how God has created you. And don't forget that. Second part of this is, God helps you to get a longer view of life. The loss of health, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a job, the loss of a mother or a father, a spouse, a child, will leave you with the thoughts of utter despair. How will I get through today, much less thinking about tomorrow or the tomorrow after tomorrow? Where is the good in the grief? And the good that can come from grief. Well, for the remainder of this lesson, I want us to look at a few ways that grief can help us. And I hope that it will change your thinking as you experience the pains of this life. I pray that it will change your thinking as you experience hardships. The first one being, grief helps you to clean up your life. Think about this for just a second. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, let's turn over there. For just a moment this evening. One of the things that I know that grief has done for me is it's caused me to clean up my life. As I've experienced the hardships of this life, it's usually on the tails of some good times in my life, when I've experienced a lot of blessings that God has for me, and I excel in, and I'm happy, and I'm all on cloud nine about the circumstances of life. But then the problems hit. The hardships come. The grief set in. And when they do, as Psalms often teaches us, we get on our knees and we draw closer to God. You see, grief can, I won't say it will, because there's a choice in this. We can either let grief help us or crush us. And I will put before us that that's the lesson we must learn. As we experience grief and suffering, let's choose to make it perfect us, to help us draw closer to God, not discourage us, not be overcome with uncertainty, but be determined to see God in our suffering. And I'll tell you, if we'll just do that, we'll get the lesson of Ecclesiastes in chapter 7 and in verse 2 beginning. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Isn't that what we're saying? What good can possibly come from that? What good can there possibly come from going to a funeral of somebody that's passed on? What good can come out of a situation like that? Why is it better to go there than a house where people are partying and having a good time? It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Because that is the end of every man. And the living does what? The living takes it to heart. That's what we're talking about here. Sorrow is better than laughter. For when the face is sad, a heart may be happy. Verse 4. The mind of the wise is in the house of the mourning, while the mind of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to listen to rebuke of a wise man than to listen to the songs of fools. When we think about Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verses 2 through 4, it works against the very grain of how we think. We like to go to a party. And which one of us would confidently say tonight, I would rather go here where people are mourning than here where people are feasting and having a good time. But see, the Bible tells us it is better to go to this place than that place. Why? What's the good in it? Well, Ecclesiastes teaches us. It helps us to clean up our lives. It makes us mindful of our life situation. It makes us, it forces us to look into our lives in comparison with God's Word. I like this. God's instructions are designed to teach us how to think. I love that. I think sometimes as we deal with God's instructions, we think that God's instructions are designed to teach us how to feel as we go through the hardships of this life. That's not what the Bible is for. That's not what God's Word is for. God's Word is there for us. His instructions are there for us to teach us how to think. Not just how to feel, but how to think. I want you to consider these words from a book that I've become acquainted with recently. It says this, grief made it easier to sort through what was important, what was less important, and what was not important at all. It helps me separate the big rocks from the little ones. Isn't that so true? What a wonderful way to look at the issues of this life and the problems of this life. I got a point to make about that quote, so remember that. In just a moment, we'll come back to it. But grief also helps us to capture the meaning of today. It's this day. This very idea that Psalm would teach us in Psalm 118. Let's turn back to the book of Psalm and Psalm 118. And please, again, follow along with me. I want us to get a biblical understanding of suffering and what suffering can do for us if we just let it. In Psalm 118 and verse 24, it says this, Psalm 118 and verse 24, this is the day in which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Grief helps us to realize the preciousness of life and the brevity of time. When we experience hardships and pains, what often takes center stage? Is it not relationships? As you encounter the hardships of this life and you deal with the dark times that this life throws at you, in those moments, where is your mind often drawn? Is it not to relationships? The person that experiences betrayal by somebody, do they sit down and they start thinking and counting their friends, who their true friends are? When a husband becomes sick and is dealing with hardships in this life, do they not all contemplate life and spending time with each other? What about a wife? Go back to that quote that I read just a moment ago by Brother David Lanfear. He attends with my sister-in-law in Bowling Green, Kentucky. When he made that quote, he had lost his wife just shortly before their 25th anniversary. A friend asked him a very insightful question. This is what the friend said. If God told you before you were married that you could only have her for 25 years, would you still have married her? David, without hesitation, said yes. His friend told him, you had your 25 years. Isn't that so true? Often the case is when we go through the hardships in this life, we think about what we've lost or what we will miss, and we forget to appreciate what we had. You see, grief teaches us to capture the meaning of today. It makes us mindful of today. I think that's such a powerful point that that many of us, I know myself, have struggled with understanding as I've dealt with the hardships in this life. And in James chapter 4, let's turn over there. There's another verse that I want to bring to light this evening. The point here is simple, that death comes to us all. And that's something that none of us, I know, would argue this evening. Our issue is not with death and not with the issues, but it's with the timing of those issues. It's never convenient. Kind of like what we'll talk about before too long. One of our dear brothers, Mr. Evans, as he was leaving this morning, he told me how much he enjoyed the lesson. He said, hopefully one of the issues that you'll talk about in the qualifications of elders is for an elder to understand and appreciate it's a 24-hour-a-day job. And we would like to think that when it says, if you're sick, call for the elders, that that would happen for an elder in between 7 and 10 at night. But in reality, it could happen anytime. At any moment, without a given notice. So it is with life. When we experience the hardships of this life, it's usually the timing that we have issues with. Oh, not today. Please not today. It's not a convenient time. Just a few more minutes, a few more hours. You see, it's timing that becomes the issue. In James chapter 4, it says this in verse 14. Actually, let's begin in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Is that not so true? You see, when we experience hardships and grief, it makes us very attuned to what's going on today. The urgency of the situation demands it today. Not long ago, as I was having some of my heart issues, traveling home from playing basketball, and on my way home, I started having some major heart pains, and I found myself in Josh and Christy's driveway thinking I was going to die. And the whole time I was thinking, my wife is just a couple hundred feet from me, and I might never see her again. You see, there's not a moment that I wished I could not go back early in that day and be the father and the husband that I should have been. You see, but going through that experience has made me appreciate this fact. Seize each day. And although I struggle with that from time to time, situations of pain and grief cause us to be mindful of the here and now. Would also say that grief helps you to find your faith. Turn over to Psalm 119 for just a moment. We are quickly coming to an end in this lesson. Hopefully it's been beneficial to you. But in Psalm 119 and in verse 71, which was read for us just a moment ago, it says this, It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. When we make that statement, good grief, what can possibly come out of this situation that seems so hopeless to us? 71 gives us an answer. It is good for me that I was afflicted. It's the idea, that word there would describe to us great suffering. And his great suffering made him more attuned to God's word. It's easy for us to tune out when suffering sets in. Notice verse 67. Now notice that for just a minute. Same chapter, Psalm 119 and verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now you think about verse 67 in light of what verse 71 says. It's easy for us to tune out when we suffer. When things are good, it's easy for us to choose that path. But what God wants to have happen in our life when we experience pain is that we draw closer to Him. You see, Psalm 119 and verse 71 teaches us that grief helps us find our faith. That's important for us. We've all seen death destroy families. We've seen divorce rip siblings apart. What kind of grief, will we allow that to draw us to, as far as a conclusion? You see, we can either grow or shrink. We can either mature or fail. You can become bitter or you can become better through your hardships in this life. It's up to you. It's up to you. And I will say, as I've already said in this series of lessons, as mothers and fathers, as grandparents, there are little eyes watching you. What will they see when your family experiences the suffering of this world? Will they see trust that's rooted and grounded in God? Or will they see a mother and a father or grandparents struggle with the issues that they are facing in this life, relying upon each other and their own self to get through the situation that they are in? I beg that it be the first, that we are people that demonstrate to our families that God is our root, that we are rooted and grounded in Him. Wilson Adams says this: the largest funeral that I ever attended was that of a 16-year-old girl named Kelsey Harris. Brain cancer eventually took her from this life, but it could not take her spirit. In the years before she died, she helped raise money to purchase Christmas gifts for fellow patients at St. Jude Hospital in Memphis. She never stopped giving or believing. One of the reasons that she did not stop believing was because of the example that her mother and father, Simon and Teresa, set. Wilson Adams goes on to say this: their faith throughout the valleys and the shadows was incredible. Did they have their moments? Yes, they sure did. Yet they lived what they claimed to believe, and that made the difference to everyone around them. Grief helps you pray more as well. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 teaches us to pray without ceasing. Suddenly that meaning of that verse becomes all too real, doesn't it? When we come eyeball to eyeball with the situation that we're faced with, the situation that seems so dark and bleak, the situation that tries its very hardest to rob us of our joy, it's then that prayer absolutely means something to us. It should mean much before, but that's one of the blessings that come through suffering. It forces us to look at the frailty of man and how much we really do control on this side of eternity. It's not much. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says this. Psalm 55 and in verse 22, it says this: cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And if you can confidently shake your head or affirm in your own mind that that is true, that you believe that to be true, then understand, as you deal with your grief and you deal with your pain, remember, as we talked about in Deuteronomy, we have that time. God has allowed us that time to work things through in our mind, but never, never, ever should we lose our hope. And may we understand where every good and rich blessing comes from. It comes from God. Pray without ceasing. Lastly, grief helps us to help others. I've got two more verses. Both of them are found in the book of Corinthians. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians to begin with.
we look at this last point. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says in verse 3 and verse 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, "The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Grief and tragedy helps us to see that we're not alone. You know, it's interesting. Some of the hardships that I've faced as a gospel preacher, or I will talk to a gospel preacher that I never thought in a million years would have suffered like I did. And you know what they'll tell me? "Neil, I've got that times three." Those of you who experience suffering and hardship, as we've talked about, sicknesses in your body, look around. There are others going through it. And when we think about grief, what grief can do, if it will allow us, it opens our eyes to see that we are not the only one that is going through this. Others have experienced it. And what's going to eventually happen as time goes on, you're going to be in a unique situation where you have suffered in a particular way, and it's going to set you up wonderfully to help somebody else deal with their hardships. Those 30 days of mourning that we talked about, when their mind is not working right, when they're trying to grasp and make sense of something, it's going to set you up to help that person because you have been there. You've walked in those shoes. You can be the sunshine that burns the fog away from somebody else's mind and their eyes. You can begin to be hope for somebody who looks at life as hopelessness. And you could be the person that leads somebody to stronger relationship with God. Because let's face it, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this will be the last verse that we'll look at, what is our purpose here on this earth? I think sometimes we think that our purpose here on this earth is to be happy. That's our purpose. Recently I heard somebody that has really astounded me. They divorced and he's gotten married again. And one of the quotes from his mother is, "Life's too short. You deserve to be happy." I want us all to understand something before we close this lesson. We don't deserve a single thing. But God, who is rich in His mercy, grants us favors and blessings that we often take for granted. If you're sitting beside somebody tonight, be grateful that God allowed that person to be in your life. Be grateful for the blessings that you do have. And look outward. Look to serve those around you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31, it says this, "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Once you've walked in that other person's shoes, you set yourself up, as this text would reveal to us, to bring somebody to understand the glory of God. I mentioned Jeff Vibert to you some time ago. He now serves as an elder down in Burkesville. You've heard me talk about him. Diagnosed with cancer. I was the second person to hear about that news. His wife was the first, and then it was me. And I remember walking in that room. I love Jeff so much. Even though he's a Kentucky fan, I love him so much. I remember standing alongside him, tears welling up in my eyes, and he said, "Neil, don't. Don't." He didn't need to say any more. I knew who Jeff was. He trusted in God. And although the situation was not good, it was not what he wanted, he was determined to give God the glory with his life. Dear brother, dear sister in Christ, if you're suffering tonight, if you're going through the hardships in this life, understand it's not wrong for you to cry. It's not wrong for you to experience pain. It's not wrong for you to face and question life. But don't ever question, does God care? And do not ever question if there's good that's going to come out of your situation. If you will but wait on the Lord, He'll reveal it to you. And when he does, oh, how special that day will be. I want to close with another quote from David Lamphere. He writes this, and this is from a book entitled A Life Lost and Found. Believe it or not, good somewhere, somehow, will come from your loss. If you'll look around hard enough, you'll see it. You may not see it immediately, but it will come. It doesn't mean that there's no hardships or sadness, or that you should try to create some sense of happiness out of tragedy. But it does mean that there's room for thankfulness about the small blessings, even in the pit of grief. And that God can use some of those great misfortunes in our life in a way that we could not possibly imagine. You must trust Him. Will you allow your grief to make you a better person? Prove your relationship and your devotion and service to God. Have you decided to follow Him? I hope you will. Hey, it means something coming from somebody that's experienced some pain, doesn't it? Some hardship, some loss. And I'll tell you, we at Greenwood here are set up in a unique way, aren't we? If I asked you tonight, if you've went through a divorce, raise your hand. I know there would be hands that would be raised. If you've lost a mother or a father, raise your hand. I know there would be hands that would be raised. If you've dealt with losing a spouse, I know there would be hands that would be raised. If you buried a child, I know there would be hands that would be raised. You see, every one of us, as I mentioned already, that sits in these seats, has a story. And dear brother or sister in Christ, if we would just be the family that God has called us to be, we would be able to help each other deal with our hardships in this life. And we'd lose a lot less people to the world. Let's be pleasing to God in our pain and our hardships that we face. Let us live with hope. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, I humbly ask of you to become one. I've said this so many times before, it's not really that's because what I want, it's because God knocks. He's knocking tonight. And He desires more than anything to come in, to claim you as His own. And I pray that you'll let Him do that tonight. If you're here and you're a Christian and not been living right, there's no more acceptable time to take your doubts, your worries that you have, and give them to a God who cares, the God who cares about your situation and longs to help. He wants to cleanse you from your sins again. If you but ask, He's willing to do that tonight and now. There's no reason for any of us to leave here tonight feeling like we're lost. If you do, it's because you've chosen to leave here tonight like that. It's not because God wants you to leave like that. It's because you've chosen. Choose to be right with Him tonight. If we can help you in any way, whether it's to obey the gospel call by being baptized, you come to the front or raise your hand. While we stand, while we sing.